The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. As we saw yesterday, it's important to fight the good fight of faith. Paul writes these words to Timothy, admonishing and encouraging him to keep on keeping on in his ministry in the kingdom of God. Join us today as we conclude this message about fighting the good fight of faith and finishing the course that God has laid before us.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. His cornerstone, his solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. My comforter.
But we're told that the devil has angels, fallen angels. And some of those angels appear as angels. Some of those demons appear as angels of light. I said it this morning about Joseph Smith, who founded the Mormon religion, who claims he saw an angel in upstate New York. I'm sure that whatever he saw, if he saw something, and I'll just give him leeway to say he saw something. I don't know whether he did or not, but let's just assume for the sake of argument he did. I'm certain that that being that appeared to him didn't look like, it wasn't dressed in a top hat with a long tuxedo tails, wearing a tuxedo with tails on it and a forked tail and red and smoking, you know. Because if it had, he'd have known that he'd have run for cover, I'm sure. But it probably appeared as something beautiful, something amazing, something miraculous, an angel of light. But you know, the problem is that Paul said, if I or an angel in heaven preach to you any other gospel than that which I have preached unto you, let him be accursed. There's not another gospel of Jesus Christ. There's not another testament of Jesus Christ. It's all contained right here. The devil is your adversary. He's not out to annoy you. He's out to destroy you. We have an enemy. See, that's why it's a battleground. And that's why Paul had to fight a good fight, the good fight of faith. And then he says, I have finished my course. So finishing apparently was important to Paul. I believe finishing is important to us. The word finish there is the Greek word teleo, which is the same Greek word that Jesus used when hanging on the cross when he said it is finished. It means to end or to complete or to conclude or to discharge, to execute something. It is important to finish well. We know that in just common everyday life. I played football in high school, and there were times when, especially early on in my career, when I didn't know as much about how to block. I wasn't talented enough to play on anywhere but the line. I was a lineman. But one of the things that our coach taught us is that you never stop moving your feet. You complete. You don't just hit the guy once and then stop. You know, it's good. You may be the biggest, baddest lineman that there is. You may weigh 375 pounds and be 6 feet 7 inches tall. But if all you do when you fire off the line is hit the guy and then stop, you might as well have not blocked in the first place. See, you got to follow through. You got to finish. You never stop moving your feet. You never stop doing what you're supposed to do. Farming, it's important in everything from football to farming. Farming is important to finish well. You know, I remember many times when I'd be out cutting hay or raking hay or baling hay, and you know, it doesn't go fast. There's just no way to speed that up. You know, you drive it on the interstate, you know, sometimes you can speed up and make some better time, right? You got to put it in a certain gear, and you just got to stick it out, and you're just going around and around and around and around that field. The worst thing I could ever do is stop and get down off that tractor and go eat lunch, because it was so tempting to not go back. It was so tempting to just let it sit there. You know, there were many times in other ways on the farm where I didn't finish very well, and Daddy found out about it, and he fixed the problem in very vivid and clear ways, let me just say. You know, we're all good at starting, but we're not always that good at finishing. But Paul said, I have finished my course. Paul started this course on the road to Damascus. He started the course. He didn't start the course looking for the course. He didn't start on this course by studying himself into a knowledge of the course. He was going an opposite way, but God showed him the right way, the course. He started on the road to Damascus, and he says, I finished it. I finished it. That didn't mean he had done everything just right, but he had carried through with the calling that God had given to him. Over in Acts chapter 20, I've always read this and thought to myself, what will I be able to say one day when I reach the point where Paul has reached in Acts chapter 20? Paul's on his way to Rome. Paul is headed to the last stop on his journey of this course. Paul won't leave Rome anymore. Nero will take care of that eventually. But as he passes by, close by to Ephesus, a place called Miletus, he sent word to Ephesus. See, Paul had spent 2 years of his life there. And he had spent a lot of time building those Ephesians up and preaching to them. And he sent word to them. He called them and said, come meet me over here. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, it says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said to them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost hath witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He goes on down in verse 27 to say, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. This is what Paul's talking about. He said, I finished my course. I have not kept back anything from you that was profitable. I tried to do everything in my power to teach you the truth of God's word. I didn't shun to declare unto you all the counsel of God, the whole counsel of God. He said, I tried to do that for you. I thought about that often. I hope when my time comes to lay down my ministry, that I can say I did my best to preach the whole counsel of God. Now listen, finishing well doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen by accident, okay? You have to keep the right mindset. You have to focus upon the finish. There was a runner one time I read a quote from. He said that, he ran marathons, actually walked many marathons, and he made the statement, if somebody asked him how he does it, he said, well, as I stand at the starting line, I know that somewhere out there is a finish line. I keep my focus upon that. He kept his focus upon the finish line, that there is a finish coming. There's a finish line out there. Beloved, there's a finish line for all of us. This will all be over before we know it. The struggles that you have in life today will be but a mere fading memory, if it's a memory at all, one day. In fact, there's some struggles I went through. I'm 56, nearly 57 years old. And some of you young folks out there that have just graduated high school or just graduated college or experiencing the beginning of parenthood and that sort of, and the beginning of marriage and all of that, there are some things that Sherry and I experienced in our lifetimes that were struggles that I can't even remember today. And one day, it doesn't matter how big the struggle is, we won't remember it at all. The Bible says it's not even worthy to be compared. See, that's good news, is it not? I mean, that's good news to me when I'm struggling. That's good news for struggling sinners like Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where he says, look at all the things I've suffered. He talks about the shipwreck. He talks about all the problems of life, the beatings and the being run out of town and all that kind of stuff. But he said in chapter 4 that I don't think of these. These are light afflictions. He said, I keep my focus on the things that are not seen, because the things that are seen are temporary. And lastly, notice it says back in our text, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. The word kept there means to guard. It doesn't mean just to hold on to, but it means to guard. It means to keep your eye upon it. Remember over in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, he said to take heed to these things, that we don't let them slip, that we don't let those things slip. He said, you've got to pay attention to these things. And he's talking about the faith. He's not just talking about the faith that's implanted in the new birth. We mentioned this morning that there is faith that's implanted in the new birth, but there's also the faith. That is those things that are commonly believed among those early Christians that are written down in the Word of God. This is the faith that he's talking about there. He said, I've kept the faith. I've kept it. I paid attention to it. I have not let it slip. Over in 1 John chapter 2, there's several verses there that use this same Greek word that he says that he uses here for kept. He said in verse 3, hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. You know, I never feel more as a child of God, or that I am a child of God, than when I'm keeping his commandments. I don't really feel like a child of God when I'm violating those commandments. But when I'm keeping those commandments, I feel more like it. He says, we know that we know him. We feel that knowledge. We feel like we can almost see him sometimes when we keep his commandments. Verse 4, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You know, I can't really, when I'm not keeping his commandments, I'm just lying to you when I say, oh yeah, I know the Lord. I feel good about it. Now look, that doesn't keep me from being a child of God. That's not what I'm talking about. The question is not whether I am a child of God. It's whether I feel like I'm a child of God. You know, that's the question. I want to feel like I'm a child of God. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, the same word here, Paul says, I've kept the faith. He said, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. You see, when we keep his word, when we guard it, when we watch out for it, and we keep our eye on it, then the love of God is made perfect. Not perfectly sinless, but mature. It's grown to the point where it needs to be. You see, Paul says, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And what does the faith point him to? Verse 8, back in 2 Timothy 4. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You know, I hear a lot of talk out in the world about crowns in heaven. That, you know, if you do more good works here, you're going to get more crowns in heaven. If you do less good works here, you're not going to get as many crowns. Beloved, I don't find that in Scripture. What I do find is that there's a crown of righteousness. And anyway, if we could earn crowns, we'd just have to throw them down at his feet anyway. See, this is the crown of righteousness. It's the topmost shelf, if you will. It's the highest point of righteousness. It's the point where we go into the very presence of God and are not utterly destroyed, because we are righteous and whole and holy before him because of the righteousness of Christ that we've been closed in. He said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. See, Paul here is declaring what his faith is pointing to. He said, I've kept the faith. I've fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And you see, all of that I've done it because I know that one day I'm assured entry into heaven. See, he's not trying to work his way to be able to enter heaven, but he knows because of the work of Christ that he has that way open for him. And Paul is here telling Timothy, I'm at the end of my life. I'm ready to be offered. It's nearly time. I don't know if he had specific knowledge, Brother Buddy, of that, yes, I'm going to Rome and I'll never leave again and I know what's going to happen and when. I don't think he had that kind of specific knowledge, but I think he knew that the time was short, the time of his life was short, and the time of his departure was at hand. And lastly, let me just say this, Paul's not boasting here. Paul's not bragging on himself here. What he's doing is, he's talking to a young man who's also in the same position. He's not an apostle, but he's called out into the ministry. And he's been a father in the ministry to this young man, Timothy. He has encouraged him. Clearly, they were close. And I believe what he's saying here in these verses is, Timothy, be encouraged. I'm about to leave this world. I have lived a life that hadn't always been perfect, but I fought the good fight. I finished this course, the course of this life, and I've kept the faith. Timothy, soon I'll be leaving this world, and you're going to be on your own from a human standpoint. You know, I think about those disciples, those apostles that were close to Jesus when he was physically here. You know, there was a time when he was here with them. And by the way, even then, just to show you how sinful they were, they didn't always get it. Even then, they struggled. They fought over who was going to be the best and the highest ranked and all that. They did all of that, even with Jesus right there in front of them, you know. But there came a time after his crucifixion and resurrection where he went back to heaven and left them here. And I get the feeling that this, you know, he spent time, Acts chapter 1, he spent time with them. He assembled together with them. He gave them instructions. And that's kind of what Paul's doing here. Paul's kind of doing that for Timothy. And, you know, I think older preachers ought to do that for younger preachers. I think, you know, I think of those who I consider to be my fathers in the ministry, and they encourage me. And I know at least one of them, maybe a couple of them, are getting close to the time when they'll be called home if the Lord tarries. And I hate to think about not being with them. But Paul's saying, Timothy, I fought the good fight. You can too. I finished my course. You can too. I've kept the faith. You can too. Us older ones, those that are older than me, and those that are young, that of my generation, we ought to encourage the younger ones like this. He's not boasting, he's encouraging them. And Timothy, you're going to be on your own from a human perspective. But as I survey my present situation and I reflect on my life and my ministry, in the face of coming glory, I still worship God. All the things that have happened to me, I still worship God. All the things that have occurred in my life, the disappointments, you know, he's just a few pages down, he's going to say, Demas hath forsaken me. Demas, who he is close to. There are people, Brother Buddy knows this, there was a time some 20 years ago that there was a big division among the Primitive Baptists, and preachers who were good friends were separated over doctrine. And there are people in my life who I love dearly, who I cannot fellowship with the way I would like because of doctrine. And I'm sure more trouble is coming. Paul here said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. But he said, you know what? I haven't given up. There is glory to come. The crown of righteousness is laid up. It's coming for me, and it's coming soon. Timothy, be encouraged. Because you know, Timothy, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. There's a crown of righteousness. There's a crown of glory. There's the crown of heaven that we will enjoy one day. Amen. Fighting, finishing, faithing. Living your life, fighting your fight, finishing your course by faith. Living your life by faith. That's the way, Timothy. And I believe that should encourage us as well.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you, and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.